Text. In 2013, 49 elementary schools were closed in Chicago, the largest mass school closing in America. Protesters carrying umbrellas marched down a rainy Chicago street lined with barren trees. Text. The majority of those school closings occurred in Black and Latinx neighborhoods. Chicago police officers stand in front of a large two-story home as the protesters march through a residential street. Text. A five-year moratorium on city school closings has now expired. A woman standing on her porch watches the protesters march by. The protesters stop outside the two-story home. Text. Among those newly targeted by the city, the high-performing, predominantly Black school, National Teachers Academy, NTA. A Black woman in a winter coat speaks into a megaphone.
I'm not here to speak about how the destruction of NTA and the forced eviction of our high-achieving students are the result of a political ploy by Rahm to court his wealthy white voters.
Yes.
I'm not here to speak about how the closing of all the public high schools in Englewood is the result of systemic disenfranchisement that paves the way for gentrification. Instead, I am here to give Rahm one simple message. This latest round of attempted school closings marks the end of your term in office.
Text, Mayor Rahm Emanuel's house, Elizabeth Greer, NTA parent.
When I started doing community organizing, at first I didn't feel comfortable with that because I'm just like, I'm just a parent, right, who's angry about something. But then I realized, well, really that's what a community organizer is. It's a person who's angry about something and who wants to stand up and say something about it.
What do we want? Fuck this school! When do we want them? Now!
But this was the moment for everyone individually that said, this is the moment for me that I have to stand up and do what's right. I was surprised to find out about myself that I'm okay with people seeing me as an angry Black woman. Like, it's okay if you hate me.
At Elizabeth's home.
Can you get up?
Her daughter sits on a top bunk.
Okay, why don't you go to the bathroom and I'll pull out your clothes, okay?
What is next to Pennsylvania and what comes
just south of Pennsylvania and Ohio is...
No! Maryland and West Virginia.
Okay, go get Maryland and West Virginia. We don't want to leave them out.
My husband and I got married in 2004, and we really fell in love with the school, which was National Teachers Academy. A couple months ago, it came out that we are level 1+ school, the highest score that CPS has to offer, and it is based primarily on the quality of the teaching at NTA across all levels for all the kids.
Her young son pretends to make his stuffed animal eat.
Delicious.
All right.
You guys ready to go?
Ready. But go ahead and put your shoes on. I sprayed them. Let me see. All right.
Where's my NTA button?
I have to get another one. Do you want a Black Students Matter button?
Yeah.
I felt the energy in the school, the way that the teachers interacted with the students, the way that they interacted with each other.
Outside NTA, a teacher playfully chases students.
Good morning. Good morning. Where you going, MJ? Hey, Victor.
Tanika Brooks, NTA assistant principal.
We hold your hand? Come on, let's go, let's go. Come here, TT will take you. Come on. Let's go, let's go.
Mommy?
Yes.
Can I go to Harmony School too?
Yes, yes. Okay, it'll be Noah's turn soon.
Elizabeth's husband holds Harmony's hand as he walks her toward the school. Students file into the building. A title appears, Let the Little Light Shine. In the school, a white teacher wearing a gold sash walks down a hallway.
Hey, it's just me, everybody. It's just me. It's just me. Hey, Malay, I'll take some high fives. Here they come! The NTA Congress!
Students playing drums march down the hallway, followed by other smiling students wearing blue sashes with the word Congress written on them. An excited student mimes playing the drums as they pass him. The NTA Congress members wave as they walk through the cafeteria. They walk up onto a stage at the front of the room and take their seats. A sign reads, "I love NTA. I love Drumline. My big brother is in the band." Text, Isaac Castellas, NTA principal.
So today, it gives me great honor to share with you that this is our first major step in incorporating student voice, student ideas, and student leadership into everything that we do here at NTA. And so I'm just so excited about this day for that reason.
A woman films the assembly with her phone. Two students play a trombone and a clarinet. Other students at the assembly look disinterested. A teacher talks to the clarinet player. "I want you to do that again. I want you to show them that you're a talented person." She hands him back his clarinet. A girl in the audience watches the clarinet player. A boy picks at his face. "It's okay. They know you're trying." A woman claps and nods.
Brilliant. I don't want you guys to feel embarrassed or bad at all. You guys did a fantastic job, and I'm proud of you, all right? And we all are. I know that our boys aren't completely satisfied with the way that they perform right now, but I have to tell you, if anybody's fault, it's my fault, because I asked the boys to perform and rehearse this song on very short notice with only a few weeks. So I think, given the amount of practice that my boys had, I think they did a fantastic job. Don't you agree? It took a great amount of courage for them to try and try again and persist. And I know that they will continue to plan and persist, and sometime soon they will perform again and we will see them prevail even more than we did just now. Don't you think so?
The students stand and applaud. On a local news broadcast.
Meantime tonight, a proposal to convert an elementary school into a new high school is pitting parents against parents and parents against Chicago Public Schools. The school in question, the National Teachers Academy in the South Loop.
And Rob, tonight's meeting is a hot topic, converting this top-performing grade school into a high school. CPS officials say it'll be a gradual transition that will accommodate current students, but future families will have to look for other options.
It's just a low-down thing for us, because we made the school a part of our community.
Nighttime.
So the proposal is this: convert the building that you're currently sitting in, National Teachers Academy, from 840 elementary school students to about 1,000 students in a high school. The elementary school shuts down, but there is a larger elementary school at South Loop Elementary that would be constructed in order to accommodate more students.
Nikita Brar.
So the intentions of the proposal, as laid out by CPS, are that merging two school communities will create a stronger academic option for all students.
Ms. Sayas told me that you have earned a lunch with me today, and I'm glad to be spending some time with you, my friend.
And I got you a fruit.
You did?
Well, my favorite best friend.
Oh, look at, thank you. Thank you, Zarell. Now, where'd you get this from? Did they know that you were taking this? They did?
Okay. And I have another one.
You have another one?
Surprise.
Oh, look at this guy. Oh, man, this is
Superman.
Superman, and who's the other character there?
He's Superman in the future.
In the future? Like a robot?
Mm-hmm. Half robot, half man.
Got it. Next week is the last week of the quarter, my friend.
Yeah.
Grades are going in on Friday.
Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to see some top-notch grades.
I'm frozen in fear.
Oh, no. Wow, what do you think your report card is going to look like?
C's,
B, and A.
Okay. Well, how about this? On Monday, we'll look at your grades together so that on Monday, you have a set plan on what to do through the week.
Isaac opens his office door.
Oh, hello, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
Come on in, y'all.
The student hurries off.
Well, yeah, it's okay. In.
You don't want to come in?
Yah is one of those children who she consistently earns really good grades, but she has some anxiety that I'm trying to help her work through.
Okay. Is that enough?
They play Connect Four.
What was that?
It's enough for me to beat you.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yah, fifth grade.
We'll see.
Socially, she has challenges. She's very self-conscious. I've been working with her to try to build a sense of efficacy with her.
Yah wins the game. Isaac sits back and smiles.
I was so excited about being one step away. Hey, there he is.
I worry that if this transition comes to pass, those children may have a principal or teachers who settle for just them graduating from high school, or just them coming to school, or just them being able to play Connect Four with classmates. Those things are good, but not sufficient.
Not really good at it.
Well, that's why you're practicing in small groups. It's okay. That's the whole point of practicing.
A heavy-set woman walks into the cafeteria.
Okay, what's going on right here? You ready?
A line of students enters the cafeteria.
Eighth graders, let's go!
A large group of students gathers in the cafeteria.
Why y'all? Who?
Miss Brooks told us to get in line.
Let me check Miss Brooks. Okay, why are you in line? Oh, because they got to get out. I don't care about y'all being with Miss Brooks. I run this. Let's go, seventh graders!
A cafeteria worker scoops food onto a plate. Audrey Johnson, NTA parent / employee.
That's my thing. You have to ask. Y'all can't just not go. That was my thing, okay? All right, y'all got to ask somebody. Don't just go, okay? Whether it's me, Miss Laura, but you got to talk so she can know what's happening, okay? All right? Good.
Audrey pats a student on the back. She picks up trash off one of the tables. Later, she sweeps garbage off the floor and into a dustpan. A black and white photo taped to a window shows a bald black man with glasses resting on his forehead. Text on it reads, JP's Corner. JP, security guard, a.k.a. mayor of NTA.
Our building at Long Grove, Audrey McDowell, she had a big write-up about NTA. And some parents were, the few that I spoke with in my building, was kind of a little dismayed and said, well, it's a done deal. I was like, no, it's not. It's not. It. So we need to keep reinforcing to parents just because they read that and it was Alderman McDowell, quote unquote, that is finished.
You know, anytime you see a parent that's telling them, they say the fight off, tell them this battle is nowhere near over. You know, you still need to encourage and say, hey, we need you to still come to the meeting. We need you to come here and support the school. We need to let that parent know, hey, this is not over with. Don't give up. Because I've had parents call me right now today and say, JP, they changing the school over. You know, the first thing I tell them, don't transfer your kid out. That's what I tell them. I said, if I ain't going nowhere, then you shouldn't go nowhere. So in the end, we're not going anywhere right now.
Elizabeth nods in agreement. Tina Feldstein.
I've always been in love with the city of Chicago and the story of Chicago. Everything that Chicago has and celebrates today was born out of this neighborhood.
A row of townhouses is shown.
There was over 90 mansions in this area. The aggregate wealth of Prairie Avenue, there was only one place in the country that could rival, and it was Fifth Avenue. When I moved to the South Loop in 2003, working as a real estate broker, I was so excited about all the development.
She holds a magazine.
Chicago, booming real estate, hip restaurants, exploding population. The South Loop, welcome to the hottest neighborhood in the country. You had a lot of young families coming in because of the townhome development. You had a lot of empty nesters coming in because of the proximity to all the cultural assets of the city. And you had lots of urban professionals that wanted easy access to downtown. So here's South Loop rising.
In the magazine.
And then one of the stories, see, here I am, the activist. I don't really even see myself as an activist. I see myself more as a much larger than that. Kind of like more like Daniel Burnham in the sense of like mover of people, right? Big, bringing people together on a large scale and facilitating connection. I am the president of the Prairie District Neighborhood Alliance. We started to do these social activities to connect people. Nicole, will you help me? When you saw the volume of families coming to our events, we realized very quickly that education was key to the long-term development of this community. Otherwise, people would just move away. So where are they going to go to high school?
Every day.
A young girl performs for kids in Halloween costumes.
CPS made it perfectly clear to the community, we cannot afford a new building. We're going to transition NTA into high school, and that was the only option that we had. How's it going? Did you do a pumpkin yet?
A pumpkin?
You can decorate pumpkin?
No, I don't think
you
did. You wanted to
decorate. Here. PD&A's position was to do what was best for our community, so families would stay here, so the quality of life could be improved. A lot of people that had come together to say, this is needed desperately. And so, yes, you know, the organization, PD&A, decided that we had to ultimately, we were forced to take a stand.
Isaac leads a meeting at NTA.
Members of the PD&A, folks in the Prairie District Neighborhood Association, have been calling for a high school to be installed in the South Loop neighborhood for years and years and years. And threats have been made to City Hall that if you do not build a high school here, we will leave Chicago. We will leave this neighborhood and we are your base.
With students.
I feel like they haven't been to our school, so they shouldn't be speaking on a situation that they don't know anything about.
Yes. It's the fact of that they're turning like a minority black level 1+ school into a high school. And that's basically saying, I have this power. I could take what I want without anybody doing something, which really makes me mad because that's not the truth. It's like
in their decision or power, they're taking that away without considering maybe what that means to you or to your families or to this community.
And I'm not even thinking about all the stuff that NTA has to offer. Like, we got iPads, Chromebooks, we have a swim pool, we have a drama class, Spanish class, a lot of different stuff. The thought needs to be stuck in the head, like the NTA is a force to be reckoned with, and that we're not just a school, we're a community.
Tonight, you're going to a meeting that you're not invited to. So I think you have this really unique opportunity to have a student voice where you're representing not only yourselves, but your community, and you're also taking back power to the people it belongs to, which is people in this community, right? Because they haven't asked very many people in this community what they think should happen to this school,
okay?
So when we go in, Ms. Greer's gonna tell you a little bit about what's on the agenda and then what you guys think we should be messaging to the folks that are there.
The steering committee is a CPS committee that they put together to figure out the transition plan for NTA.
We've had one meeting so far, and I sat there and I was mad the entire time. They asked me to be on it, essentially to try to figure out how to close our school. That's why they want me on the committee. So in advance of the second meeting, they sent me the agenda, and this is what made me start to think of, okay, how can we disrupt this?
So basically, you backstab.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. That's exactly right.
I like
that.
I like that.
Right. Clearly, this will be my last meeting because I don't think I'm going to get invited back anymore.
Right.
No, which is fine with me because this is a bogus process, right? And they're setting up this meeting as though this is happening, and they actually haven't even officially presented the proposal to the board.
We're going in to disrupt their meeting, so you take over the agenda. Let's kind of hammer this out a little bit, and then I think
has children or family at NTA, raise your hand.
And understand what we say and where we coming from, and then two, they need to change things.
Okay, so we are therapy and counselor, we have teachers who support students, we have students. What about families who support?
Nighttime, a long line of students file onto a school bus. Text, CPS steering committee meeting. The bus pulls up outside a church. Elizabeth runs past the church and joins the students on the bus.
I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be doing this.
On the bus. We're going to quietly walk up the stairs, and we're just going to enter into the room. I'll take a seat and let you all do the talking.
Okay?
That was surprising for me to learn that about myself, that I can call people out in public and be okay, and also being okay with disrupting social spaces, because that's scary.
The agenda for transitioning isn't needed because NTA gives us the opportunities we need. And NTA is not just a school, it's a community. And you don't know what you're throwing in the trash. Are you guys finished? Earl Granberry, South Loop pastor. I think you're being misled. Nobody is going to kick you out of your school. Harold Chip Johnson. This is just a proposal here that we're doing for you all.
But I want you all, I want you all to know.
We're not closing NTA. The proposal says it's transitioning into a high school. And if you choose, you have an opportunity to stay in that building and go to high school.
You all had nothing to do with this.
But the protocol of the steering committee was disrespected tonight. And it was disrespected by a member.
And I'm sorry for it.
Up until that point, I had never so flagrantly sort of raised a middle finger and said, you know, this whole thing is a sham. Thank you.
Elizabeth and the students file out of the meeting. Chip waves goodbye to the camera and mouths, thank you. He shuts the door.
He said eighth graders, about the eighth graders getting graduated and all, but what about the fourth graders?
That's
what about
I'm
the
saying.
Third graders, the first, the second? It's not just about us. I know we're graduating, but it's their school,
that's
too.
What about
not just
the first graders, second graders? They still got to graduate.
Daytime. A van drives by yellow flowers growing by the road. At NTA, Audrey addresses faculty members.
I'm very supportive of the youth, so please open your doors to me. That's what I do. I love the kids. I've always been involved with the children. Even with my own little committee, I may have 20 kids that I take to the park. That's what I just to keep kids occupied. So please, I may have 20 kids in my house, just in my house. That's what I do.
Man.
So please,
I be wanting to put them out.
Allow me to help you all or support you.
I'm the father of the house. I be wanting to put them out. I don't know what's wrong with them kids, man. This girl come in the house. Every time she come to the house, she got NTA in the house. I be like, oh, where they gonna sleep? They find a pillow to sleep on.
I make a way. And they love just being around me, just being in my house. I mean, I do what I do, but anything that I could support the kids with, that was do. So please involve me in that, especially during the summertime. Please do.
So I can carry on a little bit more.
I'm from the, as we call it, y'all call it the South Loop, we call it the low end. Lived down in Hurl Ickes all my life. We had 12 buildings down there, one which NTA sits on. When NTA came up, our local LAC, which is Gloria Williams, that passed away, she said, you're not gonna never put that $2 million school in the back of these projects, and my kids ain't gonna go to it. When we first opened NTA, we started off rough, level 3 school, us picking up this wonderful principal, Amy Wrong. And we had to tell her, in order for the school to work, you got to get with the community. You got to open up the doors for the school, for the families to come in, for the parents to be able to come in and touch bases and see what resources we get.
Audrey helped us organize these community walks.
We walked through, introduced her, this the principal, woo-woo. You know, when she come through here, y'all need to honor and respect her.
I think they started to trust that we were there because we were wanted to be comrades and colleagues and be really solutions-oriented.
Home video footage shows Amy being led into an NTA hallway lined with students. Students walk up and hug her.
So we built that relationship with them, and the school began to, you know, come on up.
Audrey forged the way there to really blur the distinctions between the school and the community. And there are pretty significant walls there.
The projects is not what people think they are. Everybody in the projects wasn't low income. My father was a janitor down in Ickes for like 36 years. My mom worked for the railroad and the post office. Both she got like 27 years in each one of them. I have seen a lot of tragedy down there. I've seen quite a few of my friends go down. So we had our problems, but I say our good days weigh out our bad days down in them projects.
Archival footage shows a wrecking ball destroying a project housing building.
We've been hearing it way before years that eventually it was going to go down. We had a lot of sad days doing them buildings tear down. You know, our kids was very emotional just every day looking at the school building, seeing, now go my room, the bulldozer just went through my room.
Me and another family was one of the last residents to leave. It was hard for me to get up out of here. It was a struggle for me because I've been here all my life.
Sunlight peeks through leafy trees. Text, Icky's Homes Reunion. Black people gather in a park. A woman barbecues.
Hello, child. What up, baby dad? What up, baby? Please, all my sisters don't be here.
The reunion has been going on for over 50 years. We're about to come together for a three-day weekend and do us.
Audrey waves to someone, then hugs a slim man holding a drink. A black man and woman stand across from each other, dancing to the music. The woman kneels, then pulls herself back up as if by a string attached to her head. Audrey stands by three women wearing shirts that read Icky's Southside Playgirls.
So this was our names when we was younger, the Southside Playgirls. Right.
Whoa. Southside, you already know we're from the low end, 24th and State Street.
24th
that's where
State.
Southside come from.
Right.
Yes.
Playgirls, it's self-explanatory. Playgirls is self-explanatory.
Uh-oh.
Yes, sir. Not saying that we was players. That we all played our men and whatnot.
That's so silly.
All five of my kids has graduated, except one now. Audrey is in seventh grade. My daughter, few of the kids, that's going to be the end of the Icky kids. They started from day one. Audrey's class is going to be the end of that.
In a classroom, Audrey's daughter writes. Outside, pieces of litter dot an empty grassy field beneath an overcast sky. Audrey stands in a quiet street gazing off. The view rises up above NTA and peers out at distant city buildings. In a crowded room at City Hall, Chance the Rapper speaks into a microphone.
I'm here representing the city of Chicago, the students, principals, parents, and teachers of Chicago. I guess the mayor had to step out when I came up, but it's cool because It's cool because I'm here to talk to you guys right now. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. There's just vast difference between the schools on the south side and the schools downtown and on the north side. Some of the nicer areas have better funding.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We partnered up with a bunch of different people and created this movement or call to action to fund CPS. Especially schools that were experiencing the most budget cuts.
Chance hands students an oversized check for $1 million.
There we go.
At City Hall.
I've been asking for money for over a year now to fund these classrooms, and they announced that they have $95 million or that they're proposing to build a $95 million cop academy. But there's a lot of ways to transform the city that don't have anything to do with police training. This money that was nowhere to be found for so long, but then when they needed $95 million to build a nice cop academy across the street from one of the high schools that we're raising money for, it's like that money comes together like this. What is y'all doing? What is y'all doing? It doesn't make sense. When I went to go testify about the police academy, the kids from NTA were there to testify as well to keep their school open.
It's not okay for you to take away something that's made us a whole and taught us valuable lessons to give it to someone else who hasn't worked as hard as we have. And we feel...
You got it, Murray.
our kids were so powerful to the point they escorted us out. We had to go.
It wasn't like they seemed angry. They seemed like focused, organized, militant. It kind of made me feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough, because like just feeling associated to it isn't enough.
Chan chased up behind us. Hey, who are y'all? Who are y'all? He said, y'all just killed them in there. You know, y'all just killed them in there. That's what I'm talking about. He took pictures with the kids down the city hall. He like, take my number.
And we connected, and we had planned on meeting later in the school year to you know, kind of figure things out.
At NTA, Taylor Wallace.
I know I found one. How you gonna tell me how tall I am? How you gonna rearrange my head? Okay.
You might be like 5'3".
Let's come sit down and I can tell an embarrassing story. So first grade, I've entered NTA. I'm a little shy, but then, like, I broke out of my shell, right? Y'all want to know my first crush? He's sitting in this room. Messiah. It was weird. I used to know how to spell his name. Like, okay, so he used to sit next to me. We was at the first table. I remember this. I sat. It's this table at the beginning of the class. And he sat, like, right there. And I sat, like, right there. And it's like our names was on a chart right at the wall. And I used to know how to spell his name from that chart. I used to know how to spell his first and last name.
That's some creepy stuff.
Yeah, I liked him, but he ain't like me back.
You learned all of that in your first year?
Yep.
I was focused on school. Let me put it like that. What was that? I was focused on school.
Took you a couple of years. At Taylor's house.
I should have just had you drive me, Mama, because you up.
Said what?
Huh?
Taylor does her hair.
Have me drive you.
What you say?
What did you say?
What did you say?
I've raised a whole lot of grandchildren in this house.
Taylor has a good drive for school.
She likes it. She does well. She tell you her opinion, whether you agreed all the time or not.
Olive, Taylor's grandmother.
She's gonna petition. She's gonna boycott. And she's gonna talk to the people in authority. Somebody called, said Taylor's on TV. So when I turned it on, I heard her speak. I was impressed. She did very well.
Oh, if I take the 754 bus, I will get to school by 8:14. So I'm cool.
You won't be late?
Uh-uh.
Okay. She's a lot like her mother. She looks a lot like her mother. And she acts like her mother. Olivia had a drive. She's always progressive. She wants to do. The day after Taylor was born, I talked to her mother that morning. She was so excited about Taylor, and she thought she was so beautiful. She said, please come to the hospital. Okay. I said goodbye, and I told her, take care of yourself, girl. Get some rest. I love you. She said, okay, Ma, I'll look for you. I said, okay. That was the end of our conversation. Before I could get to the hospital, Taylor's mother passed. They stood her up. Her first time of standing up. And the blood clot broke her loose from the leg and went to the heart. The nurse said to me, when I got there, they were crying too. But it was quick, and she was gone. And looking at Taylor without a mother was really sad. I replaced her only because I'm the grandmother. I could never replace a mother. She would be the same if her mother was living.
Well, bye, Mom. Okay. It's just like, you know how, like, I feel like people are puzzles. A piece of my puzzle is missing.
Holding an umbrella, Taylor walks along the side of her house. In an office, Elizabeth helps a man sort books.
Put that on the table, on top of that calculus book.
What does the table signify?
The table signifies I know where they're going.
Fluid and dynamics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see. Amorphous polymers and non-Newtonian fluids.
Oh, keep that. That's a keeper.
That's a keeper. Yeah. Sounds like a page turner.
Both of my parents are educators.
I don't think that's why I became a college professor, even though both my parents are college professors.
Differential equation.
Hold on. What is this?
You can't complain about me keeping things.
I'm sorry.
That's not fair.
I have stuff I have given away. This is out.
Okay.
My dad is from the South, and he's in his 70s. And so when I told him about what's going on here, he just started laughing. This is like the exact same thing that I knew growing up in the Jim Crow South.
Oh, Melvin, you had this at Morehouse in 61.
I did?
Oh, my gosh. For those of us who come from traditions of HBCUs.
Morehouse College, 1961.
My husband went to Morehouse, so did my father and my grandfather.
Look, you got somebody's phone number.
I wonder if they're still there.
There was this very ugly undercurrent in this whole conversation that an all-black classroom it cannot be smart. It is not an educationally viable classroom. It can only be good if it's integrated. That personally bothers me because now you're talking about my family history, right? And for there are many parents who either went to HBCUs themselves or family members. It's like you're saying that we're not good enough. We're not smart.
All right. I'm actually just going to give you a multiplication problem.
Elizabeth's daughter, Harmony, sits in class.
All right, ready. Here we go. No talking now.
A student gestures with her finger to a girl next to her. A boy animatedly holds up four fingers. The boy next to him also holds up four fingers. Harmony shows the students in her group six fingers, then three. A student writes on a dry erase board.
Shh. Once I give you go ahead, you can erase. All right, erase. Good job. This makes me happy.
In class with Taylor.
All right, so I want everybody to go ahead and think about that one line or phrase from the text that stood out to you the most. And we're going to do a quick poetic whip around. We've done it before. And just go around the table, and everyone's going to share their word. Okay? Ready?
Slavery's still alive, Check Amendment 13.
Black bodies being lost in the American dream.
Sweet land of liberty, incarcerated country.
Forgive them, Father. They know it's not as undone.
Prison is a business. America's the company.
All right, so let's take a moment and look at these lyrics. What is the connection between these lyrics and the 13th Amendment? What's the connection there? Take a moment to think about it and gather your evidence.
I feel like when it's saying slavery's still alive, Check Amendment 13, it's kind of referring to the fact that due to mass incarceration of blacks, it's sort of connecting to back in the day to where slavery was still alive. The 13th Amendment isn't really freeing us. It's still, they're still using its loophole to continue with the acts of slavery.
Text, racial equity community discussion.
We heard a lot in 2013 on the news about failing schools. So we are
not failing.
We are like an A+. We are level 1+. Like, how, you know, what else can we do? We're doing everything that we've been asked to do.
This is my neighborhood school. When I sent my kid here, I live in a condo that's between, 18th and 19th, and between Clark and State. There are 250 homes. 250 homes with lots of kids. My kid was the first one in my neighborhood to come to this school. So there are a lot of people at South Loop Elementary School who won't come to this school. And I kept saying, why? Like, why? I don't understand. You're not sending your kid there with those kids, are you? I'm like, what kids? I don't understand. Like, So to me, this whole thing is about race, 100%. That school is overcrowded because people were afraid to send their kids here, and nobody wants to say it. And now it's not enough that they're overcrowded because they wouldn't send their kids here. They're going to take our building for their kids to have a high school. It is unfair.
Text. John Jacoby, lawyer, South Loop resident.
When our daughter was kindergarten age, there wasn't a good public school that was within our boundary. South Loop Elementary School was probably in the bottom 5% if you looked at metrics in 2003. I mean, it was really terrible. So at the time, Arne Duncan was the chief executive of the Chicago Public Schools. And the relationship really developed because he personally recruited our family. And so our daughter actually enrolled in the first gifted kindergarten class at South Loop Elementary. When we started there, the school was 97, 98% African-American, maybe 99% African-American. By the second or third year, and once we got buy-in from the neighborhood, the character of the school definitely changed. And once we were able to institute kind of proper decorum and behavior and really expectations, the children took to it. By the time my daughter left after seventh grade, we had become a school of choice, but we could also see the neighborhood was developing such that we would need to start having a place for those graduating students to go to high school. Arne Duncan went to become Obama's education secretary, and Ron Huberman was appointed by Mayor Daley to become the new CEO of CPS. I had political connections, and so we were able to get meetings with Mr. Huberman and talk directly about the high school option. Ron was very receptive, and we pitched at the time the National Teachers Academy. You have all this excess capacity at NTA. You have tremendous overcrowding and loss of resource rooms at South Loop Elementary. Why don't you combine the two areas into one K through 12? You could give families that got into kindergarten knowing that they would be in the area all the way through high school graduation. There were a certain amount of parents that were very concerned about the neighborhood of NTA, basically because they'd never been over there. There was a liquor store nearby. It wasn't seen as the greatest place. There was kind of a rush to quell those concerns by talking about having a separate entrance, not really being integrated.
Amy Rome.
The proposal included every measure that they could take where their kids would not be at all mixed or merged with the NTA students. Separate entry time, separate dismissal time, separate main office, separate lunch and, you know, eating situations. They wanted their kids not to go to music or art or recess or gym or anything with the kids from NTA.
This ain't segregation. We ain't doing that. You all can come in here. We are welcome. Welcome you right on in. Your whole school that's built to hold 1,100 kids. Come on in.
I don't think it was ever racial because South Loop Elementary has always been a majority-minority student population, but it was more economic and classist.
You know, the families in South Loop were calling themselves things like pioneers in terms of coming there, which to me is disgusting. It's, you know, it's such disregard for the people who had been there before. So I think it was dehumanizing and disgraceful.
So the end result was, let's give up on this plan. South Loop didn't solve its overcrowding problem. They didn't get the classrooms at NTA, and Ron Huberman leaves, Mayor Daley leaves, and now Mayor Emanuel comes in with all new executives. And so you start the process all over again. I've learned that gentrification or development in an area creates tension. And certainly through the Prairie District Neighborhood Alliance, we're exposed to a lot of that tension. I've been fighting this battle for over a decade. There's no question that a high school is needed for this area.
In an auditorium, Chance the Rapper speaks on stage.
Funding quality education for public students is the most important investment a community can make.
After meeting us, Chance the Rapper said he would find a way to help us. He went on social media and he posted about NTA and stuff.
One of Chance's tweets appears.
We had planned on coming up to the school to kind of lift spirits and work with the students.
I mean, that whole day, the kids, Miss Audrey, what's the surprise? Woo woo. They see GCI.com set up. They ready. I got my kids on 10. Ready.
In the cafeteria. So you guys got the news that the event is canceled, right? Say what? What happened? The event is not happening.
I just wanted to go by there. And CPS barred me from going there. I was just like, damn, y'all don't want, I'm not allowed to go on the property. They're like, no, you cannot step foot on the property of that school. I've been spending the year visiting schools and even being asked by CPS to visit certain schools for them to tell me that this one school that's actually in danger of being another shut down public school displacing black kids in the city made me feel like a lot of some of the stuff that maybe they were asking me to do was more for symbolism rather than actual action.
My network chief told me really clearly over the phone that I needed to shut down the event, shut down the visit, or I'd be fired. I tried to reason with him about why Chance coming to NTA was special and why, as the principal, that was a decision that I was not comfortable making. And he said, you can either cancel the event or you can be fired. And he asked me what I was gonna do. He said, so what is it gonna be? And I wasn't able to make a decision in that moment, so we just sat there on the phone for a few seconds before he finally decided to end the phone call, and he said, you've told me all I need to hear, Isaac. Goodbye.
Why is it so hard for him to come here and he could go to any other school and there ain't no problem? Then they sent our principal down there to a meeting, and I'm just hoping he's not in trouble.
Audrey fights back tears.
I'm too upset to even keep talking, y'all.
Within then about a half hour, I got an email from someone high up in CPS requiring me to go to a meeting downtown. Saw in the meeting room the CEO, Janice Jackson, and the director of employee engagement. And on that particular day, I had a Black Students Matter shirt on. So she looked at the shirt and she said, you know, we've given you a lot of chances. We've been really patient with you. Everyone that we've talked to about you has said that you're a really great principal, you're a great person. But at this point, it's really hard for me to believe that you're not coordinating and collaborating with your parents to fight against this school action.
A commuter train speeds along a track as a group of protesters gather in a snow-lined city street.
And she pointed to my shirt and she said, I mean, right now, you're wearing a shirt that is from an organization that is obviously anti-CPS.
The protesters form a circle in the street.
And I was taken aback a little bit by that statement because I don't see the shirt as an opposition to Chicago Public Schools. I see it as something that Chicago Public Schools ought to clearly advocate for and support.
NTA is a level 1+ school. When has ever in the history of CPS have they tried to close a 1+ school in Chicago? Yeah. Never!
What they were experiencing and what we were all witnessing together was a movement of parents devoted to saving their school.
Elizabeth films the protest with her cell phone as honking cars drive by.
And Dr. Jackson said, yeah, but you can't be part of that movement. I said, I'm not part of that movement. I'm part of the NTA community, but I'm not the one leading parents in their efforts to try and save the school.
Two people smile at the protesters from their car.
Dr. Jackson and the lawyer there asked me to put my official statement in writing in response to the allegations that I was coordinating and orchestrating the parent opposition to the plan, which I did.
We made an agreement before we did this action that today we're not getting arrested.
I still have not yet heard from CPS.
Today, we get out the street voluntarily. In a minute, you want to be like, we ain't getting out the street.
Oh, we ain't out the street. Yeah.
You gotta take your mind out of we don't have power and realize the power you have.
Holding a Black Students Matter sign, Elizabeth smiles. In Isaac's office, he talks to a student holding a basketball.
You got to make sure that the learning you're doing shows up in your grade. It's in your head, it's in your brain. It needs to go on your paper and on your tests and in your homework. To be successful in an environment where you're teaching a group of students who look different from you and whose culture is different from your own, you must listen, you must study, you must pay attention to the culture around you.
In a school yearbook photo, Isaac wears a suit and tie.
My first year as principal here at NTA, school year 2013, NTA was designated as a welcoming school, which means that we became a school that students from a closed school would attend. And so when the students came to NTA, it was an uneasy process, because although I and the staff here were welcoming the children and wanted them here, there was still apprehension.
Isaac had it rough.
It was rough.
He had a hard year.
People didn't necessarily trust him as a leader. And it ended up being more chaotic and chaos.
There were some mistakes where, like, kids were hurt and, like, things did not go well.
We had a major fight that happened outside the school. And my solution was to buy all the kids pizza the next day and have a big circle and talk about what had occurred. And that couldn't have been further from the right solution, because the message that kids got from that was, if we fight, we get pizza.
People, I think, gave them the benefit of the doubt for a while, and then people started saying, we don't think you should stay. And that was really hard for him.
They needed someone who would step up in times of crisis, and too often I failed to do that. I shrunk from the crisis rather than rise up to it.
I don't think it's fair at all for anybody to only get one shot at something. I said he deserves another year to get it right.
In my case, it required me to be very aware of how my race, immediately, as soon as students walk into the classroom, are impacted by that. By me being a white male, there's immediately a barrier there between me and them because of their perception of whites, of white males, perhaps of what they think I think of them. And so one of the ways that I think got past that with my children was by making sure that they understood that I had very high expectations for them and I was going to help them meet those expectations.
If you're really close friends with someone and you like to hang out with them,
you wouldn't forget to include them.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
So usually I sit on the...
Not necessarily. Do you believe me?
Yah stares off with a faint smile on her face.
I'm just that type of person who doesn't want to ask to be, like, to be included. I just want people to include me.
Yes, of course. Everyone wants to be loved and popular and... Oh, where's Yah? We've got to have Yah in our group.
Yeah, I'm not saying I want popular.
But you want people to want you around, right?
Right. I don't want to be excluded.
Okay.
Like,
but you,
it's
you,
hard for me to come out my shell.
Well, that's what I'm going back to, is I want you to work on finding your voice.
I'm just afraid that someone might hurt my feelings, mm-hmm. or like mm-hmm. they won't like me, or mm-hmm. something like that. Because I know I have trust issues. I don't trust everybody. Like,
here's the next thing I want you to start thinking about, okay?
Okay.
I want you to start thinking about how to advocate for yourself with friends, being a little bit more vocal. When you see, I know it's hard, just like asking questions was hard, but when your friends are planning something that you're interested in, you can say, hey guys, what are you talking about? But listen, but do that, okay? With your friends, when they plan a trip or they do something else and you're not included, you're assuming that it's because they don't want to talk to you or they're trying to leave you out, and they're not exactly.
I'm not trying to leave me out, just forgetting about me.
That may be, but my advice to you is when you use your voice more, when you make sure that your friends see you, hear from you, know that you're interested in them, that will make a difference. Because if you don't advocate for yourself, sometimes no one else will. There won't be a Castellaz around or a teacher around or your parents around to do it. You're going to have to advocate for yourself.
I don't know. I
trust that you're going to believe me and...
And that...
You're less likely to judge me. In a large room, rows of chairs are mostly empty. Text, CPS community meeting.
And you still have left out all of Canaryville. You have left us to the wolves, basically, at this point, because our only school option is Tilden, a level 2 gang-infested school that is in need of intensive CPS support.
I've seen firsthand students come from hardworking, tax-paying families and can't afford a private education. The only option in Bridgeport and Canaryville is to attend a neighborhood high school that has a long history of underperformance and violence. The children in these communities deserve a quality education. Therefore, I'm asking that CPS reconsider the boundaries to include all of the Bridgeport and Canaryville communities.
Hi there, my name is Nita Barton, and today I'm gonna talk to you about the word dog whistle. A dog whistle is when we talk about race without ever using the word race. A speaker spoke about families in his neighborhood are good tax-paying families who deserve access to this new high school. Well, who's not good? Who's not tax-paying? That makes me think of my status as an immigrant in this country and who is taxed and who is not allowed to be taxed. And then earlier, there was a retired teacher from Holden who spoke about very good family values and why students from Holden should be taken because they add value to the new high school. That's a really fascinating context because, again, that school does not have a large population of Black students. That assumes that you can't have a high-quality school if you have too many Black students. And the good news is we have a case that demonstrates that that is just absolutely not true. And that case, ladies and gentlemen, is National Teachers Academy.
Text, John Jacoby, South Loop PDNA.
It's not great to have people get up and call you a racist at community meetings.
We became the, you know, evildoer. It certainly was never about power or racism for us. Certainly not for me.
I didn't appreciate the racist tone that they took in their arguments because I don't think that was valid, but I understood where they were coming from.
We didn't want to be, NTA against South Loop or PDNA against NTA families. That was never, ever the intention. The last thing we wanted to do was steal a school from somebody. If you merge the two schools together, they're all going to have a great elementary school. And we would have a neighborhood high school. There is a lot of disparity that it doesn't seem fair, you know, that some schools get closed, others don't. I had to ask myself the question of, should I be speaking out for the larger issue, which is a citywide issue of disparity in education? And this was not an easy question for me to answer. But in the end, what I felt is that my role was really to advocate for my community.
Text, Frank Clark, school board president.
I believe some of the presenters have accused us, the board, and CPS management of fostering racism. This decision somehow disadvantages Black and brown kids. Why do people think that we're closing NTA when in fact we're converting it?
I was just going to say, I think what we've heard from community members is that they would like NTA to remain in its current state. So any change to that is viewed as a closing or a loss for the community, which we have heard and obviously have to respond to. The school is a wonderful community, and we agree with that. And I think that the students who attend this school for elementary school will continue to get a high quality education in the elementary school, and they will also be able to attend this school for high school. And I think that that is a strong plan and a plan that we stand by.
We will not let them take us down. We will fight for our school. We will fight for the children, not just NTA kids, our city.
Audrey addresses protesters.
We will not let politics take us down. All our kids need help, support. They need to be back in school. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm in my feelings, y'all.
That's okay.
I'm in my feelings.
You're all right, Audrey.
Every time I talk about the kids, I'm in my feelings.
Yes.
As of yesterday, it'll be 13 kids. I'm going to go to a funeral. Yesterday, I seen the boy lay dead in front of my building. 56 in Michigan.
Talk about it. Yes, ma'am.
Young lady walking past and got shot right with him. Lucky she didn't die. But the young man did. Why? They don't have nothing to do. School saves kids. We got to love the kids, whether they're yours or not. We got to love the kids.
Takes the village. Takes the village.
NTA is here to stay.
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 Ida B was here today. She was there with us.
We choose public school. We choose public school.
The NTA students march into City Hall. We're going to go to the fifth floor and shut it down. Police officers stand by a security checkpoint in front of a set of double doors. A blonde woman addresses the protesters from NTA.
Now, if you could keep the sign down, because this is about a family that lost their son, okay? And then you can do all your stuff, but they've been waiting to say, okay, we really appreciate you guys being respectful while they talk. Thank you.
My name is Miracle Boy. I'm a sophomore from John O. College Prep, and we are here today to be demanding that CPS stop the vote on the phase out. CPS plans to close NTA, John Hope, Harper, Robinson, and Team Inglewood. So we're here today, and we demand that our mayor stop inconvening us and our teachers, our parents, and everybody else.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
Hey.
Oh, why we made it up, got to go. Hey. Oh, why we made it up, got to go. Hey. Oh, why we made it up, got to go. Hey.
Oh, us or son. We looked upstairs, but we can hear you. Can you give us 5 minutes?
Miracle shakes her head.
Will you open our school?
But you guys, there's a family that lost their son by a drunken police officer.
Like,
I don't understand. But can you give us 5 minutes? I know. I understand. But can you give us just 5 minutes of quiet while they do their news conference?
Now I'm giving out.
Because they've been waiting all day. And then we'll. And then you can. Can you do it for us 5 minutes? And then they'll be done. Because we're hearing all the noise.
When our schools are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back.
Mr. President, these items do require a vote.
If there are no objections from my fellow board members, please apply the last favorable roll call vote with the noted abstention.
The vote now has been secured. The Board of Education approved the NTA high school proposal.
A teacher writes on a school window with a marker.
Our NTA is,
yeah.
There were a lot of long faces.
Some of the kids had tears in their eyes. Some of the kids even asked me, Mrs. Brooks, do we come to school today or tomorrow? Does this mean that we don't have school tomorrow? So trying to get them to realize it's not over. You do have school and it's okay. Your school is here.
Writing on the window reads, "We Heart NTA."
Even though this decision has now been made, regardless of what the Board of Education has decided, we still believe in our children.
It looks like he knows what he's doing. And it's all neat and boutique, and it's in order. And it's like, hey, I got this. Remember, you are loved.
Writing on other school windows reads, "We Heart NTA, Integrity," and shows the letters NTA with a heart around them. Writing on the window to JP's corner reads, "We heart our parents." The text Isaac posted beneath large black and white photos of NTA students reads, "Remember, you are loved." A photo on the wall shows Elizabeth addressing reporters at a protest. Isaac and other faculty members walk down a school hallway. In the cafeteria, the wall is decorated with cutouts of students in silhouette wearing graduation caps. A sign reads, Class of 2018. Wearing a t-shirt, Isaac strokes his goatee. A student hands out graduation programs as parents in formal wear enter the auditorium. Outside the school, members of the media film a small gathering of people. Among them, Elizabeth smiles. Inside, a banner covered in messages from other students reads, Good luck, we'll miss you. Students in graduation caps and gowns greet one another with big smiles on their faces. A teacher checks graduating girls' mouths for gum. A student in dark sunglasses walks through the hall. Shake with your right, receive with your left. Outside.
Today has been a long time coming. When we at NTA first discovered CPS's plans to close our beloved school, we immediately reached out and sought legal counsel. We are a school that should be modeled throughout CPS.
Graduates walk down a hall past smiling, clapping students.
And today, as we celebrate our graduating eighth graders, we are so proud of the leadership they have shown.
At the graduation ceremony.
Many of you in this room and many of our children on this stage have advocated deeply, publicly, emphatically to save our school. You see, we love our school, don't we? Yeah. We love each other. We love everything that we built here together.
We have protested at board meetings, and we have protested in the streets. Today, we are protesting by filing a lawsuit.
A coalition of lawyers have filed an injunction today to stop the closure of National Teachers Academy.
Starting today, we will be ignored no longer.
Honor student Taylor Wallace.
Taylor shakes Isaac's hand and takes her diploma.
Honor student Messiah Armstrong.
Emotional parents film the graduation ceremony on their phones. A teacher applauds the graduates. Another student shakes hands with Isaac and receives her diploma. A smiling parent films the graduation on her phone. A boy receives his diploma from Isaac. Taylor addresses the attendees.
I know that graduating from NTA has given us all on this stage a huge passport for the future. And I know that we are ready for everything the futures hold. Dream, believe, and achieve. We are the class of 2018.
On the stage, a graduate dabs at her eyes with a tissue. Taylor hugs her grandmother. Another graduate hugs her mother, and Messiah poses for a selfie with his parents. Outside, colorful balloons float in the air.
So proud of you. Thank you.
Taylor poses for a photo. Messiah holds up his diploma. A graduate with braces beams. In front of the school. Graduates and their families mill about in front of the school building. Now, a person's feet walk along a downtown sidewalk. An L train drives along a track. Inside, Elizabeth talks to Nikita and another woman.
We are suing for two main reasons. Number one, we are suing that it is a violation of our civil rights because you are burdening a protected class, African Americans. We are being put at a disadvantage. And the second piece is that we are suing because the CPS has been in violation of the Illinois School Code, a set of instructions for how you do a school action. And there are many different steps that you are supposed to take before you take action upon a school. And CPS, basically, they violated it in five different ways, which is basically they violated the whole code.
Candace Moore, NTA attorney.
Would this be happening if it was a majority white school? And that sits and cuts right into the racialized history of this city and what communities have felt time and time again.
In 2013, when they closed all the schools, many, many people sued, and none of them were successful.
the legal system was always able to fall back on the, well, the school's underutilized, or well, the school was underperforming. Here's the thing, none of the lawsuits, none of the schools, none of the situations were the same as ours.
Text, 6 months later. Tree branches are covered in a thick coating of ice. Icicles drip from a stop sign. Wearing a winter hat and jacket, Isaac scrapes ice off his car's rear window.
The cumulative effect of everything that, you know, I've experienced as principal, but most importantly, this community has experienced, I think, takes its toll after a while.
In his office, he takes his laptop out of his backpack.
If CPS knew that I was being interviewed by you and participating in your documentation of the fight to save NTA, I would definitely be fired. I have no doubt about it.
Why are you letting us hear?
Yeah. Because education, as I said in one of our early interviews, is something that I think can be the great equalizer in our country. And so if someone can take something from this experience, or from my experience as a principal, or from our children, or others who fought to keep NTA open, then I think it's a risk well taken.
In a classroom.
Those are all the things you said it takes to work well with another person. Look at the one that you think is most important to you and your teammate. Talk to the person that you're working with and tell them which word you selected and why, and then begin your work.
With Ya.
Mr. C?
Yes?
I'm going to need some help on this one.
You're going to have to find some help from a friend. You got Jay-Z there, you got Brandon there.
Do you guys think this looks good?
Ya's classmates continue working without her. Isaac looks on.
This one is.
You asking for help? Yeah?
Kind of.
You said you were going to need some help. Who helped you?
Sort of.
Who helped you?
Jaden told me it looked good.
All right. Anything? Did you ask for help?
I don't know how to put this piece in.
Wait.
All right. There you go, Jaden. There's your cue, buddy.
Okay.
Number six. This right here, because it goes in this part, but this one is blocking it.
You look at the web there of working well with others. What quality did you show, and what quality did Jaden show?
I think I showed courage.
Okay, good.
I showed courage because I asked Jaden for help instead of being afraid to ask him. And Jaden showed understanding because he understood like what I was going through.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Good. That's right.
In her office, Elizabeth sits at her laptop.
I think it's hard when people who don't know you talk bad about you. The things that they are saying about you are based either on their own racism or on lies. So many ugly things have been said about us, about our children, about our color, about our ability to learn. And then when that narrative gets elevated to a citywide level and then becomes a structural issue as a reason why they should shut you down, then it becomes personal, because now you're talking about my kids. That's where the pain comes in.
Elizabeth helps her son with his jacket. In a hallway, he stares at a tablet as she locks up her office. Her daughter pushes an elevator button.
If we lose this...
She drives her kids in her car.
I don't know if I have in me to keep going. We keep putting forth these valiant efforts, and we keep losing.
Outside NTA, she helps Noah put on his winter hat. She hugs both her kids as they both head into the school.
Bye, Noah. Love you.
Now, snowflakes fall gently on leafy plants. Two pigeons perch on a railing. A man in a Salvation Army apron rings a bell. People walk through an outdoor Christmas market.
I made sure to get to the courtroom before anybody else.
In the Richard J. Daley Center.
I wanted to get there as early as I could so that I could just be alone a little bit with my thoughts. There was this terrible sense of uncertainty.
We go in there, the judge finally comes in, so it's dead silent and it's packed.
As it pertained to city law, he ruled that there had been no violation. And when he said that to us, you know, my heart, which had been pounding, now sank.
Elizabeth wipes away tears.
You know, it was so devastating in that moment to think that we tried, but we failed again. And then he said, however.
However, in the case of the Illinois Civil Rights Code.
You know, I do find that it has merit and that it will stand.
And therefore, the court rules to grant the injunction.
Outside the courtroom, Nikita hugs Isaac tightly and sobs into his shoulder. Smiling from ear to ear, Elizabeth hugs a woman. Audrey hugs Isaac.
I wasn't gonna cry.
In an NTA classroom.
Today at 3:25, the judge granted our...
Did you tell her? I did. Congratulations.
We would not have won if it were not for Candace. She was the one who wrote that fifth claim, the civil rights violation, and that was the claim that did not get thrown out and is the reason why we got our injunction.
Do you feel like they should just drop it?
Yes, it certainly seems like a prime time to do it, but that is something that they'll have to decide.
This is not the end, right? So they wanted it to be very clear to us that this is not the end, that we still have a lot more to go. We got a long road ahead. But we were all sort of given permission to enjoy the moment.
Smiling broadly, Elizabeth chats with Candace. At a bar called the Velvet Lounge, faculty members and parents dance. Holding a blue drink, Audrey struts across the floor. Elizabeth covers her eyes and grins as people cheer for her. Nikita chats with Isaac.
I'm in shock. Because you can't go 20 months of people telling you you're full of and there's nothing there, and then all of a sudden they finally say, like, yeah, you're right.
Well, CPS might file some sort of an appeal to the injunction or something like that.
They will. But we're ready for it.
They will?
Yeah, they likely will. They have to.
To save face. Juan Perez Jr.? He's a reporter for the Tribune. So this is real? Smiling, Elizabeth shows people something on her phone.
Families, we have an important announcement to make. Juan Perez Jr. of the Chicago Tribune is reporting the Chicago Public Schools is abandoning its plan to turn into a high school.
Elizabeth raises her fist in celebration. It's over. She hugs another parent and cries tears of joy. Cut to black. Text, Greer, Everett, Jones, Matthews, and Chicago United for Equity versus Board of Education of the City of Chicago was the first time in U.S. history an injunction was granted in a school closing case based on a racial discrimination claim. Chicago Public Schools did not respond to interview requests. Credits: directed and produced by Kevin Shaw. Produced by Rachel Dixon. Cinematography and editing by Kevin Shaw. Sound by Rachel Dixon. Original score by Khalil El-Zabar. Let the Little Light Shine is a co-production of School Film LLC, American Documentary POV, ITVS, and Black Public Media, with funding provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, CPB. This film was produced by School Film LLC, which is solely responsible for its content. Copyright 2022 School Film LLC, all rights reserved. Audio description by DeCapta. Funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education.